Malik ibn Harith, who was also known as Malik al-Ashtar al-Nakha'i, was one of the most valiant and loyal commanders and companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. The title al-Ashtar means the scarred or the torn one, and he received this title because an arrow struck his eye, tearing the veins within it during the Battle of Yarmouk against the Byzantine Romans. But who was Malik al-Ashtar? How did he live his life? And how did he leave this world? This is Unsung Heroes. Malik al-Ashtar al-Nakha'i was born in Yemen 30 years before the Prophet's hijrah or migration to Medina. Yet he never witnessed the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi with his own eyes. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi sent Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam to the land of Yemen to propagate the religion of Islam. During this time, Malik al-Ashtar accepted the religion of Islam at the hands of Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, and subsequently his entire tribe also accepted the religion of Islam. Now, something we need to understand is that after the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi left this world, it wasn't uncommon for the Shi'as to support the Khulafa in order to strengthen Islam upon the command of Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. For example, Salman al-Farsi acted as the governor of Mada'in during the reign of the second Khalif. Thus, Malik al-Ashtar took part in all of the major battles after the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi left this world, including the battles of Qadisiyah and Yarmouk, two of the greatest and most influential battles after the Holy Prophet left this world. Once the Battle of Qadisiyah came to a conclusion, Malik took up residence in the city of Kufa. Now, one of the signs of a believer is that they do not sit silently when they see oppression and injustice taking place. For this reason, when Malik witnessed the oppression and the corruption of the current governor of Kufa, Sa'id ibn Aas, he couldn't sit silently and he criticized him for his actions. Sa'id ibn Aas saw Malik as a threat to his governance, so he exiled him to the Levant alongside 8 others, including the famous companion of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Kumail ibn Ziyad. Now, when he arrived in Syria, he witnessed things he could hardly believe. He witnessed the people of Syria following the religion of Muawiyah rather than the religion of Allah and his messenger. Muawiyah had created such innovations in the religion of Islam that it was hardly recognizable anymore. Once again, Malik couldn't bear to see the religion of Islam being distorted, and he spoke out against Muawiyah's oppressions. Muawiyah was frightened that the people would understand the reality of the religion of Islam through Malik's words, so he imprisoned him along with his comrades. However, it was too late, as the people had already been enchanted by the words of Malik, and they had fallen in love with his character. Thus, Muawiyah requested to exile Malik once more to the city of Homs, and he remained there until the governor of Kufa, Sa'id ibn Aas, left for Medina to meet with the Khalif. In his absence, Malik and his comrades staged a coup, and they agreed not to allow Sa'id to return to the city. The people of Kufa chose Malik as their governor, and he took the responsibility of leading Friday prayers. Now, if you're wondering where Amir al-Mu'mineen was during all of these huge political events, well, he was still in Medina, and this was during the caliphate of the third Khalifa. Malik al-Ashtar sent a letter to the Khalifa requesting that he appoint Abu Musa al-Ash'ari as the governor of Kufa, and he agreed with his request. After the assassination of the third Khalif, Malik al-Ashtar was one of the first to pay his allegiance to Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he assured him that the people of Kufa would act likewise. Malik was one of those who invited the people towards pledging allegiance to Amir al-Mu'mineen, calling out, "Ali wasi al-awsiya wa warith ilm al-nabiyyin." Now, Malik was renowned for his valor and courage on the battlefield. It is widely known that whoever engaged in a duel with Malik would not emerge from that duel alive. He was the commander of the right wing of Amir al-Mu'mineen's army in the Battle of Jamal. In this battle, he displayed his courage and lion-heartedness to all. However, his most prominent military role was against the army of Muawiyah in the Battle of Siffin. During this battle, Malik was appointed the commander of the Kufans of Amir al-Mu'mineen's army. Muawiyah had blocked the army of Amir al-Mu'mineen from taking water from the river. So Amir al-Mu'mineen ordered Malik to open the route to the water. Towards the end of the battle, Malik al-Ashtar charged from the right towards the enemy with his soldiers, killing their standard bearer and almost reaching Muawiyah's tent. But before any harm could reach him, Amr ibn As, the cunning vizier of Muawiyah, thought of a plan to deceive the simple-minded Kufans of Amir al-Mu'mineen's army. He placed the Quran on the spears and he invited the army of Amir al-Mu'mineen to negotiations over the basis of the Quran. Amr ibn As's scheme worked, and some brainless soldiers from the Muslim army threatened Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullahi wasalamuhu alayhi that if he didn't call off the battle, they would kill him. Imagine that! They threatened to kill their own imam because they thought they knew more than him. When Malik heard that the imam's life was in danger, he returned from the battlefield, although he was only 10 steps from the tent of Muawiyah, and he could have ended this fitna and this sedition once and for all. After the Battle of Siffin came to a bitter conclusion, news arrived from Egypt that Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr, the governor of Amir al-Mu'mineen in Egypt, was struggling to control the region. Muawiyah had also dispatched his army, led by Amr ibn As, to occupy the region. For this reason, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullah wasalamuhu alayh sent the only man he knew could equal Amr ibn As's cunning and skill in leadership, and that was none other than Malik al-Ashtar al-Nakhai. Unfortunately, however, Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr was brutally martyred before Malik could even reach the land of Egypt. Muawiyah knew that if Malik stepped foot in the capital of Egypt, it would be impossible to reclaim that territory from Amir al-Mu'mineen. Thus, he set a plot into action to assassinate Malik al-Ashtar. On the way, he met a man who claimed to love Amir al-Mu'mineen. This man invited Malik to his house, and Malik accepted his invitation gladly. When he went to the man's house, the man fed him a refreshing honey drink. But this drink was poisoned, and Malik al-Ashtar attained the grand status of martyrdom. This was the only way they could bring this lion-hearted man down. They knew that he was the most steadfast of believers, and this is how a believer must be, never willing to back down from a challenge. It is narrated that when Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah alayhi received the news of the martyrdom of Malik al-Ashtar, pain was visible on his face, and this did not subside for a few days. It is mentioned in Nahj al-Balagha that Amir al-Mu'mineen said, "Malikun wa ma malikun, wallahi law kana jabalan lakana finda, wa law kana hajaran lakana salda. La yartaqihi al-hafir, wa la yufi alayhi al-ta'ir." Malik, what a man Malik was. Had he been a mountain, he would have been a great mountain. And had he been a stone, he would have been a firm stone. No horseman could have reached it, and no bird could have soared over it. Amir al-Mu'mineen also said, "May Allah forgive Malik. He was to me as I was to the Prophet." Could you imagine having such a wonderful status in the eyes of the Imam that he compares you to himself? Indeed, Malik was a great man, and the hadith of Rasulullah attests to the faith and virtue of this man. It is narrated that when Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari, this great companion of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Rasulullah, was on the cusps of death in the deserts of Rabada, just on the outskirts of Medina, he ordered his wife to go to the road where people would travel. He told her, "Go and call anybody who is traveling by so that they can come and perform the ghusl and pray over my body." Now, this is bearing in mind that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi had mentioned before, a group of true believers will pray over the body of Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari. When his wife went to the road to find somebody to pray over the body of her husband, she found a few men riding by. She called out to them, "O men, would you not come and pray over the body of the great companion of Rasulullah?" They hastened towards the body of Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari. They gave him a ghusl and they prayed over his body. These men were none other than Abdullah ibn Mas'ud the famed reciter of the Quran and companion of Rasulullah, Hujr ibn Adi, the companion of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, and none other than Malik al-Ashtar al-Nakhai, the valorous commander of Islam and the valorous commander of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullah wa salamhu alayhi. Now we know how Malik al-Ashtar lived and how he left this world. So remember, to leave this world as a martyr, we must first live in this world as a martyr, wherever you are.